The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is it a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. And we are sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York, where we're not the biggest, but we're the best. And our motto is, we don't try, we succeed. Today is August 15th, 2014. And once again, we have another new person to the show, which I'm very happy because this gentleman represents strongman and from the United States, and we're getting better and better, I think, more competitive in the world, too. I want to introduce you to American strongman Chad Coy. We're going to be kind of all over the map with this interview. This is what we want to do. This is the first time Chad's been with Motivation Muscle. And, Chad, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thanks, Eric. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, we love to have you on. You know, I mainly, you know, I'd heard of you before, but once again, Facebook is bringing me people that I really would like to talk to. I feel that are authentic, that really are going to, you know, add something to this whole show. And not only that, being you're in your 40s, which I know you probably don't want to be reminded of. It's only a number, and, you know, when I see you out there doing things, like a lot of us are doing things, I said, I got to talk to this guy, because instead of retreating, you just keep pushing ahead. And I had a thing the other day, Chad, where I said, you know what, you see people that get older, they retire, and, you know, a year later, they're gone. You know, here's my philosophy, don't slow down, speed up. That's it, you know. So, for anybody that doesn't know you out here in my audience in Motivation Muscle, can you give me a little idea? Give the audience basically what you've done, what you're up to, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, kind of like a little bit of history. I actually saw World's Strongest Man as a kid. It was always fascinating. And I actually started lifting weights in 1980 at the age of 12, trying to – because I wanted to be a football player. I mean, gee, imagine that, an American kid wanting to be a football player. But I've seen a lot of World's Strongest Man. I just always intrigued me. We lived down the street from a convenience store, which is about a mile away. But we'd walk down, and this is how old I am. It's like when Coke was in glass bottles, and it came in 8-packs. Yep. And my claim to fame at 12 was I could walk a mile holding two cases of Coke in each arm and walk it back. That was like my farmers. I was like Bill Kazmaier walking back.
Yep.
But, you know, I just kind of, you know, somehow I just kind of fell in love with weights. It was just something that I enjoyed. And actually, my mom took me to the gym when I was 12, and I went to learn. I learned about Nautilus, of all things.
Yeah.
And I started banging out the weights in Nautilus, and then I picked up the Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding by Arnold Schwarzenegger. And, you know, I just started training, and I didn't know anything, and there was no coaches, so I just kind of muttered through everything. After a couple of years of that in a local gym, I decided I was buying my own equipment. So by the age of 16, I had my own gym. So
wow.
Kind of poignant. You know, I had a squat rack, a leg press, everything you could possibly imagine. And the guy who sold it to me set me up on a powerlifting routine. So I just started doing just the big movements. I kind of oscillated years back and forth between that and, you know, reading Muscle and Fantasy and Flex magazine and, like, you know, all the heroes of my time, you know, Tom Platz, which
sure.
It's funny is I've gotten to actually be really good friends with Tom Platz. You know, Bertel Fox, all those guys, big, brutal-looking guys, and just kind of started training. And then, you know, the football didn't turn out the way I wanted it because I didn't know anything about nutrition.
Right.
So in high school, I was a 180-pound senior at high school. Not a lot of need for inside linebackers in the Big Ten there.
No.
In my infinite wisdom, I decided not to play small college football, and I went to Purdue University where I got my degree. And while I was there, I decided I was going to walk on, but you only have 5 years to play for, and I didn't realize that the time starts clicking as soon as you come on campus. So
yep.
I walked on. The recruiting coordinator at the time was Chester Caddis, and Chester's like, dude, unless you're Lawrence Taylor, you're never going to play. Well, I'm like, I'm not Lawrence Taylor. Well, he goes, well, why do you want to do this? I want to be a strength coach. So he goes, really? So Steve Little was the strength coach at the time, and he calls up Steve. He says, hey, I got a guy for you. I know you need some more assistance. Let me send him down. So that's kind of how that started. I went down, and next thing I know, I spent the next 19 months working for free for Purdue University as an undergraduate strength coach, yep. which was a phenomenal opportunity. I learned a lot. I did learn really quick that I didn't want to be a strength coach. They put in like 70 hours. I didn't get paid much money.
Yeah, right.
So, I didn't get the assistantship, so I got kind of kicked out in the real world. The real world where I'd actually worked at a nutrition store the whole time through college, so I went to work for a distributor. My actual education is exercise physiology and nutrition. Mm-hmm. So I took a job at a sports nutrition distributor here in the Midwest, and just over the next 8 years, I expanded their territory from $150,000 to $1.5 million.
Not bad, man.
Yeah, so I kind of got to know the gym business, and yeah. My wife's degree is in management, and we were both of the idea that we didn't want to work for other people for the rest of our life.
So I'm with you.
We want to have our own business, and we were both gym rats, and mm-hmm. we actually opened the Powerhouse Gym of Kokomo in 1995. Wow. So I'd actually been with the company for 3 years, wrote our business plan, handed it to my boss. My boss wrote me a check for $50,000.
Wow.
And the rest is what we would call history. Now, at 45, I look back on that and I was like, God, what a moron was that at 25? Because you don't realize what you got because you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had $50,000 and an idea. And we opened the first gym, was 8,400 square feet, and it just blossomed from there. Wow. When that happened, there was no real strongman in the United States. There was no shows. And I actually had contacted Randy Strawson, who owns Iron
yep.
Mind. And Randy's like, there's no shows. So we're like, well, crime, we'll just put one on. So in 1994, we started the Central USA Strongman Challenge, which the first meet was really a 3-inch bar bench press. So we had a big mm-hmm. axle bench press, a trap yep. bar deadlift, and then we carried dumbbells for farmers walks. That was the first year in 1994. Well, the show just grew every year, and we grew it every year. It's like, you know, there was – how do you get on TV? So it's like we're trying to find out how to do it. Well, in 1998, the AFSA, which was the American Federation of Strength Athletes, which was headed up by Manfred Hobel and Magnus
yep.
Magnuson, those guys were having the American Challenge out at the Trace Track in Vegas, so which was, quote-unquote, the qualifier for World's Strongest Man. That's how they had kind of sold it to everybody. Well, when you got out there, you found out that it really wasn't. They'd already picked the guys, but you were
yep.
there, so we competed. We got to compete internationally against some guys. And, you know, honestly, at the time I went, my training partner at the time was Doug R., and Doug was 6'8 and about 450 pounds. And I'd never beat him in anything, but we went to this contest. I'm like, ah, hell, he's going. I'm going to go with him. What the hell? What could happen? I'm just going to go do the show. Well, I ended up making the finals, which made me now a professional strongman.
Yeah,
and the rest was history because I've been doing powerlifting and football, all kinds of crazy crap, just in the off season. So, you know, and this is kind of like full circle. I came to my dream. How did you get into it? That's where it was. So in 1998, I decided, you know, my dream was to make World's Strongest Man. So
yep.
I fervently trained. The closest I ever got was 2001. I served as the alternate to World's Strongest Man for the United States.
Awesome.
I've had the opportunity to captain the U.S. team to international events. This next event I'm going to do is going to be my 97th contest.
Wow.
So I've been a professional strongman since 1998, and I've been doing strongman since 94. And really, that's kind of like the background. So
yep.
as we got older, and I, you know, you can still compete. I've still competed open. But, you
yep.
know, there's a difference when you're 6 foot tall and 260 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're at extreme disadvantage a lot of times. And
yep.
what kept me good for the longest time was that I built the equipment. We had the equipment built. We trained on the equipment, so I had better technique.
Yep.
As that information started to disseminate itself out to other people, people learned to train. Well, that kind of leveled the playing field. And
mm-hmm.
What's crazy is a lot of guys came here, you know.
Yeah.
Came here and trained with us. I mean, out of our gym, we've produced 9 professional strongmen, more than any gym in the country. And it's
yep.
just how we put together the programming.
Well, let me ask you this, Chad. I want to just divert from this 1 second because you said two names that I'm really intrigued by. Bertel Fox and Tom Platz, obviously, you have contact with. Now, would they probably be in their late 60s now? I mean, remember Platt from those pictures. His legs were humongous.
Tom, I'm trying to think. I'm not sure how Tom is. It's been about 6 months since I actually talked to him. But, I mean, he still trains.
Does he? Okay.
I mean, if you go back, it's funny because, I'm owning a gym. And I had a member, we got rid of the hack squat, and he cried.
Yep.
That's the best piece of equipment. Tom Platt's his favorite piece of equipment. I'm like, dude, I just talked to Tom last night. He said he did pictures on –
He squats. That's what he does.
Dude. I'm like, yeah. That's why the reason why your legs aren't that big, dude, because you don't squat. You're over leg extension and hack squats. I mean,
yeah.
Get your ass out there and go over the squat racks. Like we got
absolutely.
We got five squat racks. Use one.
Obviously he's still training now. I don't ever buy any of those rags anyways, but I remember seeing Bertel Fox, and I'll tell you another guy that we were only probably like. Maybe 8 or 9, I probably 9, 10 years old. There was a club here in Albany called the Steel Pier Athletic Club, and it was known nationally at one time. I mean, it was the hardest core place other than what I've got here at home. Other than when I was in Iceland competing, I did go to Magnus's gym.
Okay.
But here's the deal. I saw, I think. The biggest, I don't even, he's bodybuilder, but he's an Olympic lifter, obviously, and that was Sergio Oliva.
Right, right.
You want to talk about big?
Yes.
I'll tell you what.
He's a human being.
Huge. He was probably no more than, they always stated, he might have been 6 foot. He was probably 5'10 max, okay?
I think maybe 5'9.
Maybe. And he apologized that day because he said, and his accent, he still had, he wasn't in good shape. And he was weighing about 260 to 265. I'm here to tell you, man, you want to talk about density in a human being? Right. Whoa. And
that guy everybody had packed all in, that's for sure.
Oh, dude, it was like unreal. And, I don't care about, they always say, well, bodybuilders are all – I don't follow any of this stuff. I'm talking back in the different time frame.
Back then, I mean, if I could say there's the golden era of physical culture in the United States, the pre-steroid era, when you're looking at Reg Park and you're looking at Steve.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Those guys would go, they'd go win the Olympic meet, they'd win the powerful meet, and they'd strip their freaking down their underwear, and then they'd win
right.
the body.
And then they'd pose.
It's like there was no difference.
And you look at a guy like Grimmick. These guys won, I think Grimmick, didn't he win the Mr. Universe? I mean, the thing I liked about all that stuff was this. I mean, I'm talking even, maybe 30s, 40s. These guys were like accomplished lifters. I mean, they did, the off-the-wall strongman stuff where they're breaking chains with their chest. And then, they're pressing whatever over their head. It could be flour sacks, any of that stuff. But then, like you said, they're stripping down and they go on stage. And you know something? They had muscle, man.
Well,
they had
real muscle. They weren't just show muscles. They were go muscles.
Yep.
That's the difference I see. I mean, I hate that. I mean, and a lot of bodybuilders want to slap me when I say this, but I think the whole idea of the usage of drugs and then the splitting of routines. I think it's watered bodybuilding down for the masses. And what you see is these genetically gifted athletes that use performance enhancing drugs that proliferate the magazines, that's not real. What is real and attainable, if you look at those physiques from the 50s, if you look at Reg Park and you look at Stevens, mm-hmm. those are attainable physiques for everybody. Now, granted, if you're a genetic freak, you're honestly, drugs or no drugs, Ed Cohn's still Ed Cohn, and you know what?
Oh, yeah.
Victor Richards is still Victor Richards. Now, I bring those guys up because I know both of them. I've got a picture. I got a picture of them in 1992, and it's like, I put it in my journal, and it said, Ed saying you're weak, and then Victor saying you're tall. So it's like, you see those guys train, and it's like, it makes you think, where's it at? Now, I mean, I think for most people, what they got to remember, what'd you get into it for? I mean, I decided a long time ago the reason I got into training was to make myself better as an athlete, was to be healthy all my life. As I've got kids now, I've got a business. I mean, why do I do it? I do it because I think it's fun.
It is.
To be honest with you, I hate contests for one reason. Fucks your training up.
Yep.
You got to slow down your training. It's like right now, I mean, for me right now, I'm at the tail end of 50 weeks of training. I mean, because I came back from Worlds last year with a bad taste in my mouth. I was 2 points away from the win. And you know what? I decided I'm going to train. I'm going to get home. Contest was done on Monday. I'm going to train on Friday. And I'm not getting my ass. I'm not getting my ass beat this next year because I'm going to train balls out for 51.
Yep.
And, you know, right now I feel like dog shit because that's where I'm at. But you know what?
Yeah.
I know that the deload's coming. I know that I'm getting all my restoration in. I know that the contest's going to be here.
Well, let me ask you this. Obviously, you're going to always concentrate on the main three, which is going to be the press, the pull, deadlift, obviously, and the squat. When you train, obviously you're training. You went out and build equipment, obviously, to keep you consistent with everybody else and competitive. How do you work that all in? Okay, if obviously you're doing a log press, but are you using an Olympic bar and doing a power clean overhead? You know, obviously I see most of your stuff. I see you use a trap bar to deadlift. Are you using a conventional straight
bar? Right now I'm using a trap bar only because my car deadlift, one of the welds broke.
Okay.
And it's a car deadlift at Worlds. Normally I would always, I would straight bar a large majority of the time.
Okay.
What I look at is I'm a kind of a beg, borrow, and steal guy. I mean, I do the Olympic movements. I do, I'm a huge proponent of the West Side barbell methods. I mean, conjugate periodization. Now, what I've done is I've taken what I've seen, what I've done, and I've blended it into my own program in the sense that I'm going to deadlift. Now, I will deadlift 3 days a week.
Okay? Wow.
I will deadlift 3 days a week. Only one of them will be a maximum effort, but the other, and then I change those deadlifts. So it could be a banded deadlift. It could be a chain deadlift. It could be a trap bar. It could be elevated. It could be deficit. But I'm always pulling, or I'm always squatting, or I'm always pressing. So 3 days a week, I will overhead press something. My bench press has become second. It's a secondary lift because in strongman, you don't really bench press that much.
You don't need it, right.
So it's not that I don't do it. It's just not – it's not up front.
And you're not laying on your back when you're competing in strongman.
Very rarely have I ever. I think I've done a chest press four times in 97 contests.
Yeah,
And three of those were inclines. So,
I just changed
those around. And the hard thing is, so many people get fixated on this, it's a movement pattern. So I'm in a back squat. It's funny because I had posted one of my girls deadlifting 325 and one of the guys on the Facebook said, well, that's stupid. You should only deadlift off the floor. I'm like, why?
Oh, really?
I mean, if you're weak in the top end, why would you not train the top end? If you're weak in a
exactly.
If you're weak off the floor, train a deficit. It's like, don't be a dumbass. Look at what works. And you know what? If my trap bar goes up and my straight bar goes up and my deficit goes up and everything keeps going up, my numbers keep going up. Now, how do you continue to – I'm just going to pull conventional deadlifts. I'm going to pull five sets of five, and I'm going to do that for the next 20 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you get a little – number one, it gets a little stale. That's why, you'll see – I'm doing a lot of trap bar, elevated trap bar, because the deadlift at Worlds is 15 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So right now – now, that's – I would probably pull a little bit different, but one of the events we have at Worlds this year is Moss Wrestling. So I was Moss Wrestling about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
And I tore my hamstring.
I
can't pull in front because it's too much activation of the hamstring. Now, the side handle doesn't bug it, so I've done a lot more side handle. Would I do that much? I wouldn't. I normally would never train that much of that event, of that style, because it's not conducive to long-term goals.
Yeah, but it keeps you in the game.
Right. So sometimes you make alterations.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting therapy every day. I'm getting scraped. I'm getting stemmed. I've got freaking ketoprofen rubbed on it four times a day. I've got Arnica Montana rubbed on it four times a day.
Do any laser work? Do you have any laser done to it too or not?
No. My therapist doesn't do that stuff. So, I mean, anything, if I found someone that would do it, I'd do it. I'm going to go get ART done a couple times before I leave.
And that's what I have done. When I was in Iceland, I tore my bicep. So
I'm doing
had it fixed, but
I'm doing everything I can to heal that up as best I can and go to Worlds and see what happens. I mean, I feel very confident because I'm stronger now than I've ever been.
I think
a lot of that comes down to how you prepare your training. You just have to, in a conjugate system or if you want to call it conjugate, if you're a CrossFit guy and you want to call it constantly varied, I don't care. I mean, everyone makes every system, every programming, everyone has to tweak the wording. I mean, it cracks me up. It's like, you know, I'm a CrossFit level one trainer. Why did I do CrossFit level one trainer? Well, you know, when 100 people are running by my club to go someplace else, not stopping here because we don't do CrossFit. And then what's funny is when we start doing it, most of the clients that we have right now, this is the same shit you've been doing for 20 years. Okay, yeah, I've been constantly very high-intensity functional movement for 20 years because why? We teach people how to do the Olympic movements. We're going to clean. We're going to snatch. We're going to jerk. You're going to deadlift in some fashion. You're going to squat in some fashion. You're going to pull. You're going to do chin-ups. You're going to row, and you're going to chest press. That's
so
it.
The bottom very line here shit. Is not – Right, and the bottom line is there's nothing new. It's just a name is invented for it.
It's just a name.
What
CrossFit has done is and it's brilliant. I mean, I don't give a shit what anybody says. I mean, personally, I think Greg Glassman is a fucking genius. Yep. I mean, look at what the guy's done. I mean, I don't know. He's got carpal tunnel because he can't count the fucking money fast enough. Seriously. I mean –
Yeah, but you know something else, too. He's got good marketers. I mean, look at the campaigns they run.
Insane. Now, are there stupid people out there? Hell yes, there's dumbasses in CrossFit. Is there more dumbasses in CrossFit? Probably because there's more CrossFitters.
Yeah.
But look in the gym business. I mean, hell, there's 17,000 gyms in the United States. How many idiots are in the gym business? Now, I've been in the business for 20 years. Am I great? You know what? I've been very blessed. I'm lucky to still be here. We've made phenomenal money. I've made phenomenal mistakes. I mean, the economy took a dump. You know, I work for myself. I'm working more now than I've ever worked in my life. But you know, I'm still working for myself,
man.
And I'm doing what I want to do, and I'm changing people's lives. So I see the kids that we train. I see the adults we train. I see how much progress people can make by having good coaching. And that's really what it comes down to for me is my passion is to really – if you tell me I want to go to the Olympics, well – Okay, when? You got to make the plan. My job is to make the plan. Your job is to sweat. And, you know, for me, you know, I had that dream of going. I wanted to make World's Strongest Man. And you know what? I trade for years. I mean, I've done 10 open America's Strongest Mans. My average placing is 10th place. No one's – to be honest with you, I don't think if anyone's going to touch 10 of those. Hopefully, there's probably not someone as dumb as I am that keeps coming back. But
I don't think that's dumb though, man. That's called perseverance.
You know what? Tenacity. My wife has a my wife just calls me dumbass about it. When is your dumbass gonna quit? Are you done getting your ass kicked by these big guys? And I'm like, well, it's okay. I'm still happy with it. But that's why, like, when there was no Masters,
right?
And that's kind of why we developed the Masters because, like, there was a bunch of us that really weren't ready to quit.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also, you know, the idea, can I carry a 1,000-pound super yoke? Yep. Can I carry it as fast as Brian Shaw, who's 6'8 and 450 pounds?
Right.
No.
Right.
And, you know, it became, can I still be competitive? I can still get out there and not look like an idiot, but I'm not going to win anything. I mean, as hell, it's hard enough to try to win anything when I was actually at the top of my game when everyone else. And a scary thing is, if I had a time machine, I could go back to 2003, I'd kick everyone's ass.
Yeah, but, you know, you got to remember one thing, too. I mean, as much as those guys are great at the top, we had this talk with Bert Soren yesterday. I still think as long as Zdrunas wants to win, he's going to keep winning. I do, seriously.
Zdrunas is a rare human being.
Yes, he is.
I think that if he wants to continue, I don't think it's not going to be unfettered. I think Brian, because I know Brian quite well.
Yeah.
The biggest thing for any of these guys is staying healthy.
Absolutely.
I mean, Ed Hall is coming on. I mean, look at his deadlift. I mean, he pulls 461 and just a glitch. I mean, instead of lowering the bar, he lets it go. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. He got the damn lift. That was incredible to watch. And that guy is crazy. I've been around him. This will be my third year at the UKs. And he's probably one of the most intense people I've ever seen. He's nuts. But it's fun to watch because you know what? You know you're going to get the best performance out of him because he's not going to quit. He's a freaking animal. I mean, hell, he got knocked out of Worlds last year and came back to the UKs dog-tired after doing the prelims and came and kicked everyone's ass in the UK.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty fucking impressive, man.
It is. But, you know, I think I had read an article not that long ago when they interviewed Zvikas, and it was like he wants to be the first guy to put 500 over his head, you know, log-wise and all that. And then he said, well, maybe I could think about leaving after that. But, You know what the freaky thing about him is, too? He doesn't have that Pujanowski look. You know what I mean? It's like he's a big-ass dude. There's no doubt about it. But he doesn't have, like a lot of those guys, where they had more of that bodybuilding look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You got to remember, he came from powerlifting. He's a great powerlifter.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he's just – and you know what? He's just a good – and I say a kid because I can remember when he started competing, he was just such a baby face.
Yeah, definitely.
I actually beat him in a medley once. That's my claim to fame.
There you go, man. You beat world's strongest man.
I whipped
his
ass by about 2 seconds, but I whipped his ass. No, he's just such an incredible athlete. And it's funny because I remember it was before he had won Worlds, and it was in 06, and we were in Tulsa, and a bunch of guys had done this medley, and it was a farmer's walk, duck walk, and I mean, that's my thing. Medleys are my thing. So I've always lived off athleticism, and I finished in like 24 seconds, and it's like, man, that's the best time. It's like, dude, that's going to fall real quick. Like, why do you say like a Sedrunas is going to crush it? Sedrunas is he's 6'4", and he's 380. There's no way. I said, bullshit. I said, watch this. I said, when this guy does it, he'll do it in 14 seconds. They're going, there's no way he can do it in 14 seconds. Like, just watch. Watch. And sure enough, he did it in like 14.07. And it looked – all I could think of was when I'm sitting there, I was squatted down watching it. And playing football for years, all I could think of was like, you know, the tight end blocks down, you shove him down, and here's this pulling guard, this big son of a bitch running. And he's running with 330 pounds in his hands as fast as most guys can run 100 feet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. But I mean, he's an incredible specimen. I would agree that as long as he wants to continue to be in it, he'll always be a force.
Yep.
And to be honest with you, I don't buy a lot of guys like, hey, you know, he's getting close to 40.
So what?
I'm closing on 46, and I'm in the best shape I've ever been in my life. Yep. And I don't think it's because as you get older, you don't take as many risks. Mm-hmm. When you're younger, you can be stupid and get away with it.
Yep.
Now it's like, you know, I don't know. When I got it to about 40, there's that voice on the side that says, do it, do it. You can do it. And there's the other guy going, no, no. And it used to be that I listened to the guy saying, do it. And I have these injuries because I was training with younger guys. Now it's like the guy says, hey, dumbass, don't do it. You're going to get hurt. I'm like, hey, you're right. So I just don't do it. And if I come to a training session, I'm feeling great, then I'm going to push it. If I don't, I just don't push it.
Back off,
but
man.
It's because it's going to be there. Yeah. And I think that's what most people – I mean, training wisdom – I got to think, I'm closing in on, holy shit, 34 years of training. And you kind of learn some stuff along the way. It's kind of amazing shit. But you're kind of like, do I push the envelope today? And then, like, today, like, I did my last squat workout, last heavy squat workout this morning. So I hit my end goal was I was going to hit 803 for a single.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I had to buy a new suit because we have to wear a single ply suit. Okay. I don't normally wear equipment, but you know what? By God, if everyone gets a suit, I'm going to have one.
Well, yeah.
So I called Joe Jordan over there at Elite Fitness, and that dude hooked me up. He got me a IPF King squatter, so it would actually I can use it for both the squat and a deadlift.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't fit quite right, so I had my seamstress take an inch out of it, put it on today. I hit 803 for a triple.
Wow.
Which is a lifetime PR. And that's with my suit on, no knee. I mean, I just put knee sleeves on. And my belt.
Yep.
So, and I had three. I did three. Had a little bit more in the tank. Shut it off.
Nice.
And knowing that, you know what, it's only going to matter on the 24th and 25th.
Yeah.
Now I hit a PR, so I'm pretty good. You know, I got to hit some reps tomorrow with 300 kilos.
Yep.
Then I decided I put the wheels down. I went right to the trap bar, and my end goal was to hit 805 for 10 at that 15 inches. I was kind of a little shot, so I ended up getting 5, and I could have done more, but I'm like, okay, feeling the hammy, don't want to push it, be smart.
Absolutely.
And then I went and hit my last yoke, and, you know, I went, it was 920 pounds, and I went the 15 meters. It took me 17 seconds, which was a little slow, but considering that I did all that in about 40 minutes, I was totally fine. It's like, came, trained a few clients, ate, we're doing this interview, I'm going to go train again here at 1 o'clock.
Nice.
So knock out a couple more events, but it becomes go after it when you can, and when your body's not giving it to you, don't. And that's where a lot of guys are like, well, how do you train? I'm like, well, I do dynamic effort, so I'm going to really work on being explosive. Now, in the past, like from a conjugate superiorization system or from Louis Simmons or Westside or whoever you want to attribute it to, I used to use a lot of bands and a lot of chain. What I found at about 35 to about 38, I couldn't use as much accommodating resistance because I started having like fascial injuries.
Yeah. Yep.
So I just dropped all that shit. And I don't, I use it once, like once a month I might use it. You know, where before I, dynamic effort, I've got to hit my wave, my bands and my chains and all this shit. And I was like, and I finally just got to the point where, you know, and I talked to Louie and I talked to Dave Tate and I talked to Jim Moore and I was like, dude, you're getting too old. Drop that shit. You know, that the first thing is going to go. You're not going to tear a tendon or the muscle. The fascia is going to go. So that's what I was getting. So I just dropped all that. And then, you know, I look at Circa Max. So I'm going to train with at 90% or above of my raw max. And I hit that. Now, if that feels good, I might push it to a max. But if it's supposed to be max day and it feels like shit, then it just becomes a Circa Max day. And it came to the point where I would hit a lift, a max effort lift, maybe every 10 days.
Yeah.
But I was still making progress.
What are you doing stone-wise? Do you obviously make all your own stones?
You know what? When I say I make equipment, I don't make shit.
Fabricator.
I got fab guys, man.
I had them, too. I make
this.
My backyard.
My wife would attest to this. I can. If you want to get faster, I can do it. If you want your ass to be smaller, if you want to get stronger, it has to do with the human body, I can do it. If it has anything to do with that, I can cook.
Yeah.
I can write checks.
Yep.
And I can do dishes and my laundry. That's really about it. So no, when it comes to fabbing shit, I'm not mechanical at all. So fortunately, I've got a lot of great guys here at the gym that do. Actually, Brian Neese, who was the 99 America's Strongest Man, is one of my best friends. His son works for me. Back when he went to World's Strongest Man, you know what? He came back and I needed stones, and his wife, I love Erica. She used to make the greatest stones. She made me a set of stones back in 1999, and I still have those original set. Now, they are the most seasoned, nasty bastards you can get on, but, you know, I've got 20 different stones. You know, Brian Schoonfeld, who was two-time America's Strongest Man, was one of my old training partners, and he made a lot of stuff for us. So we've got power stairs. We've got a Viking press. You know what? We've got stones. I've got numerous logs, axles, kegs. You know, one of my clients is he's a contractor, and I needed two kegs. I'm like, man, can you fill some kegs for me? Because you got empty ones? I'm like, yeah. He goes, how heavy you want them? I go, 300 and 330. Days later, I got 300 and 330 keg.
You know, nice.
One of my guys, you know, it's like the guy who made, he's an Iron Man. He's training for an Iron Man. He's one of my clients. But he's a fab guy. So he's like, I just want some cool shit, cool toys.
Yep.
So I want them to make these big wheel things. I showed him a picture of Worlds. He goes, can you do that? But they can slide on a barn, and I want to be able to put plates on. So it's plate loadable. He goes, yeah, no problem. 3 days later, I got him. I'm like, it's like Christmas, man.
Sweet.
But like some of the other goofy stuff, and he's made, I mean, I got my guy, he makes me prowlers, you know.
Yep.
I mean, he's made a salmon ladder for all the American Ninja Warrior crazy people that we have. You know, they just do all kinds of stuff. I mean, I love buying equipment, but it's like, you know, I wanted some chin stations, some dip stations. Well, you look around, it's like, well, it's going to cost me $200. You know, I'm like, dude, what could you make this for? He's, I'll bring them in tomorrow. So he makes them. I'm like, well, how much did that cost? He goes, $20. I said, so you're telling me that the chin up station I was going to buy commercially was $200, but you just made it for $20.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. And I'm like,
yeah, and don't forget the shipping rates now, too.
Yeah,
they're insane.
Good. So, I mean, I'm like, so can you make this? I'm like, yeah. Hey, can you make this rig? Yeah. Hey, can you make I want a wheelbarrow. Okay. So it's like anything that I want, it's like a kid in a candy shop. It's like, we needed a wheelbarrow to get ready for nationals. So he makes us a freaking wheelbarrow. And
that's
the damn thing's, I mean, you can load it up, and we've loaded up to 2,500 pounds. I mean, it's freaking awesome. I mean, it's just like, it's like, hey, I need it. Oh, I busted. Man, dude, I busted my yoke. So he brings his arc welder. The next thing is fixed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've got a Buffalo bar. I've got three good Olympic bars. I've got an Oki deadlift bar. The Oki deadlift bar is 15 years old. We busted it.
Yeah.
2 days later, he's welded it back together. It's good as new.
Yeah.
I mean, so it becomes one of those things that, you know, it's nice to know people who know how to do stuff. So.
Absolutely. Especially welders.
Yeah. They're awesome.
You know, now let me ask you this too, Chad, is obviously, we got into, you know, into the nutrition end, which is real important to you. What at this point now, what's your diet looking like pretty much? You know, you don't have to, I mean, I know you're
right now, it's like I work all the time. So it's like, I'm not the best example of nutrition, because I drink most of my food out of a straw.
Me too. I do that a lot too.
I mean, so really, if you get down to it, I'm eating about 500 grams of protein a day.
Okay.
And probably 300 of that comes through a straw. The rest is chewed.
Yep.
I keep my carbs relatively low. If I'm not training, my carbs are, you know, I might eat 100 grams of carbs a day, and that usually comes from vegetables.
Yeah.
If it's a training day, I only take carbs around my meal. And
yep.
Right now I use Cytofuse, which is just it's a 20 grams of protein, 50 grams of carbs, or I use BioTest as a product called Plasma. I kind of oscillate between the two of them. Plasma is quite expensive. The Cytofuse is a little less expensive, so I kind of blend them together and stretch it a little bit. That's kind of my carb source. One's a cyclic dextrin, the other is just, which is a very, very good carbohydrate. The other is just a straight up maltodextrin, so not so good. But I drink that during training. So if I'm going to train, I'll probably take in, you know, between 200 and 300 grams of carbs while I train.
Right.
So, but I'm a firm believer in like the, I don't know, some people call it peri-workout, intra-workout nutrition. So I'll get up in the morning, like this morning, because I had to train early. So I had a little bit of Power Drive, which is a tyrosine-based neuro cocktail.
Okay.
I had 400 milligrams of caffeine, and that was mixed with, I mean, I had 40 grams of protein and 100 grams of carbs right before I trained.
Right.
And that's on the drive-in. And then during the workout, I had 3 scoops of plasma, 3 scoops of Cytofuse, so about another 200 grams of carbs, about another 80 grams of protein. As soon as I was done, I use a hydrolyzed protein, so it's just fast-acting, and I have about 100 grams of protein right after I'm done training.
Right.
Then I usually take about an hour, and then I have a very slow protein, so I have like micellar casein egg, and I'll mix that with just natural almond butter or natural peanut butter, and I'll have about another 100 grams, and then probably about 50 grams of fat, just to slow everything down.
Right, right.
Past that, you know what, when I eat actual food, it's generally 16 ounces of meat and 16 ounces of any type of vegetable I can eat.
So are you in the paleo diet, or does it matter to you what you're eating?
Mine
are
would be more targeted nutrition. So, yeah, I'd say if I were to eat food, it's paleo.
Yep.
If I were to – but then I use targeted nutrition to fuel my body. Now, if I wanted to lose body fat, I'd probably drop my carb. I'd go completely paleo, keep my carbs under 100, you know, be more in a ketogenic type state. I'm not a big fan. I mean, paleo people are crazy because, like, well, you can eat all the fruit you want. Like, bullshit, dude.
No
you know
way.
What? If you were a caveman, fruit was available for 4 to 6 weeks out of the year. There's a limiting enzyme in your liver called PFK that limits the amount of carbohydrates that you can ingest and store. That's why they're converted to fat and stored as fat, because there's a long-term energy source. So you can't buy into all the paleo bullshit. Now, at the same point, I don't think that is are carbohydrates evil.
No, not at all.
Paleo man, I'm like, dude, I'm an athlete, and if I need 100 grams of carbs, I'm going to freaking eat them.
Now, absolutely.
And here's the thing. I'm great friends with John Anderson, who's the deep water and all meat and all. And it's like, you know, and that works for John. And I'm not saying it doesn't work for everybody else. You know what? Here's the thing. I like freaking carbs. And damn it, if I want to have some rice, I'm going to eat it. You know what?
Yeah.
If I want to have a six, and I look at this. My cholesterol is good. My blood pressure is good. My enzymes are good. You know what? I look at it for long-term health. And you know what? I've lived that lifestyle. I did bodybuilding. I was down to 3% body fat. I had abs. I could give a shit. Number one, if I'm not making more money, I'm not getting laid more. What the hell does it matter if I got freaking abs?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, now, my wife would probably say it'd be nice if you had abs because you're just you got a pony keg. But it's like, whatever. I'm okay with it. And you know what? You're not kicking me out of the sack, so I'm also solid.
And not only that, I mean, you're exhibiting monster strength. You know, you know what I find with people, even like people I train? Here's the deal. They get themselves pegged into this thinking that it can only be this way. And when you do that, you're never going to change anything. You know, maybe you'll see a little weight loss for a little while, but then it's going to all come right back up on you.
You know,
and
a couple, 2008, I decided I was going to get my lightweight pro card. So I did America's Strongest Man. I was 264 pounds, the same as I am right now. I dieted down to 231. I had abs. I had a vein coming out of my abs. You know, most of you are shredded. I'm like, well, I really wasn't shredded, but I got to 231. I made weight. I did the contest. I didn't get my pro card. And I'm like, you know what? This sucks dick because you know why? Because you know what? It's 10 o'clock at night. We're watching some TV, and I want a freaking bowl of ice cream. I'd rather eat the damn bowl of ice cream. But you know what? I've gone years without eating shit food. I've been lean. You know what? Yeah. And again, it really wasn't that big a deal. It didn't make me happy. And you know what? I'd rather just be big and strong and be able to do the shit that I want to do. Now, granted, you know, I've been doing a lot of CrossFit this year. So, you know what? Some of the younger guys, they kick my ass in the conditioning wads. But you know what? I'm doing them. I'm having fun with it. You know, it's gotten me in better shape. It's got a lot more density. You know, I'm going to kind of flip my training and try that. Why? Because you know what? I'm an athlete and I like a challenge. And you know, I'm going to be frank with you. The money at the Masters CrossFit Games is a shitload better than the Masters World Strongest Man. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to go make a splash right off the bat, but you know what? Would it hurt me to do something different for a while? No. And to be honest with you, you know what? The other day, you know, we did a finisher and it was we did kipping pull-ups. And I know, oh, my God, you did kipping pull-ups. What a pussy you are. I did kipping pull-ups. I did handstand push-ups, and I did dips. And we did – we're going to do 7 minutes, as many reps as you can get.
Yeah.
So my first set of kipping pull-ups, I repped 30 reps. And then I ran over and did some handstand push-ups and dips. Yep. I ended up doing 60 pull-ups, 50 handstand push-ups, and 50 dips in seven minutes.
Yep.
I was fucking pumped out of my mind.
Absolutely.
Jack, you know what? And most people go, what do you do for arms? I go, I don't train arms.
No.
You know, I don't train arms. Now, out of shits and giggles, sometimes, I get a lot of bodybuilders here, so I like to have fun sometimes. So they're ever doing dumbbell curls, so I'll run over and just do a couple sets with them. Well, the other day I did 65-pound dumbbell curls for 20 reps per arm. You're like, how the hell can you do that? You never train arms. Like, because I do fucking chin-ups, and I row.
No kidding.
You know, I can chin up with an extra 100 pounds. I'm doing rows with 300, 400 pounds. I mean, dude, come on, seriously. You know, I pick up 450-pound rocks with my arms.
Well, that's the thing.
You know, it's like it's functional. I look at what is functional. Now, you know, so is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? It just is what it is. I mean, if you want big guns, I'm not saying not to train your arms, but Jesus, dude, if you're not training your chest and your back, don't worry about your freaking arms.
They're as they used to say, they're going to come along for the ride.
Yeah. I mean, dude, and if you're not squatting and you're not deadlifting, I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, we see a lot of we call them U-boat captains. upper only guys. Like, you know, the upper only guys are not – dude, do you realize how much more impressive you would be? And what's funny is since we kind of started the CrossFit, and we had people doing CrossFit in the club just on their own. But even our CrossFitters, now, when I write the programming, it's not – what I see a lot of programming is done for – they don't understand why they're training. There's only one purpose to train. That's to facilitate change. Now, you have to determine what's that change. Well, at the end of the day – my personal belief is if you're stronger, you're going to be – life is just easier when you're stronger.
Absolutely.
So why not be as strong as you freaking can? Now, if you're fat, quit eating so damn much. If you're not in condition, then condition more. If you're if you're a CrossFitter and your gymnastics suck, guess what? Do more gymnastics. Now, since we've started the whole CrossFit – now, we looked at it and, you know, I watch people drive by and it's like – and, you know, and to be honest with you, I kicked myself in the ass. I should have done this probably 10 years ago. But I was like everyone else, all of these little CrossFit faggots, man, that's just gay. You know? But then the more I thought, I was like, dude, it's really no different than the way we train. Because what do? We do Olympic movements. We do big basic movements. I've been doing ring chin-ups and ring dips for 15 years before it was cool. And you know what? Yeah. Then we went out and did crazy conditioning shit like, oh, let's go push the propeller for 300 yards and vomit. I'm like, it really wasn't any different. What we did is we exported what we did to everyone else. So what CrossFit has done that has been, I think, monumental to the fitness industry is introduce back to the masses the Olympic movements.
Yep.
Squatting and deadlifting. Holy shit, people squat and deadlift. People wouldn't fucking squat or deadlift because, oh, it's going to be bad for my back. It's going to hurt my knees.
Yeah.
You know what? I look and it cracks me up because since we've been doing it, I've got 15 dudes in our CrossFit that pull over 500 pounds.
That's awesome.
I got 15 chicks that pull over 280. You know, I got a girl, one of my girls who's doing – who does strongman, she just pulled 465 on an elevated bar, granted, but she pulled 465.
Well, yeah, you know, absolutely.
And she weighs a buck 40.
Oh, my God, okay? Man.
And now the crazy thing is when you look at all these people who are doing this, and I don't know about you, but, you know, you can watch the aerobic bunnies, you can watch the bodybuilding chicks. But
sure.
There's nothing better to look at than a CrossFit girl.
Absolutely, man.
Put together. But so
oh, baby.
And I don't know, all the guys that come to the gym, well, I don't want to get too big, or I want to be muscular.
Yeah, right.
It's like, you know what? Would you like to look like Rich Froning? Jason Khalipa?
Yeah.
I mean, those guys are fucking jacked, and they are athletes. So I think for me, what intrigues me is I was always an athlete. I like being an athlete. You know, I find the challenge of having fun doing these Metcons. Do Metcons suck? Conditioning sucks. Let's just all admit it. Conditioning sucks ass.
Yep.
But you know what? When there's 10 of us together doing it, it's not so bad. And you know what? I kind of want to kick your ass while I'm doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I learn to compete, and that's not a bad thing. Now, from a coaching aspect, we have to control the coaching so that no one's doing stupid shit and getting hurt. And that's
Absolutely.
What our job is. So we teach technique. I mean, I write every program for us. So we do 10 minutes worth of active dynamic warm-up, a mobility work.
Yep.
You know, we're going to teach the technique. So we're going to use a PVC pipe and teach technique for 10 minutes.
Yep.
We're going to strength train, and then we're going to do some conditioning. You know, what's funny is we do it differently than most people. A lot of CrossFit people will come from other boxes like, you guys lift too much. And then they come and we go to the local competition, and, you know, 80 people show up, 40 of them are our people, and we take every first place trophy, second place trophy. I mean, I get a good laugh because – my son is 13, and one of his friends is 13, and they conned the old men, which the dads were 39 and 45.
Yeah.
And they decide, well, let's do the CrossFit Games, this local CrossFit Games. Like, but we want to go as open. Like, come on, dude, we're going to go as open? Are you fucking kidding me? But my son was adamant. He goes, Dad, I can flip the tire, I can do the jump ropes, I can do the sit-ups. The other guys, I can do the wall balls, and I can do the lateral jumps, and I can do the push-ups. So the old men did the weightlifting stuff. You know what cracked me up? When the dust settled, we got second place.
Wow.
You know, and it was like, holy shit. But you know what? I'll be honest with you. There's nothing. I mean, I get – my kids are to that age. They train. My daughter's 21, so I trained her for years, and she works out with me. And we kind of work out as a family a lot. But to go compete with my son, that was probably the most – that was – if I could laugh, I mean, getting that second place medal –
yeah,
probably meant more to me than all the rest of my strongman shit put together because we did it together.
Together,
and now
yeah.
he's like dad, and he's like, I'm loving it. So he comes and does CrossFit because he hates to train one on one.
Yeah,
he loves to do CrossFit, and it's
so easy,
so we call it CrossFit. But what is it? Hell, he comes in and he cleans, he jerks, and he chins, and then he does a Metcon. And the next day he comes in, he deadlifts, does an accessory to deadlift, and then does something conditioning. And then he does gymnastics, and then he comes the next day and he snatches, and he bench presses, and he rows, and he does some conditioning. And on the end of the last day, he deadlifts.
Yeah, so see, the name is what propels people.
Right.
You know, you've been doing the same stuff since you're 10 years old, and you call it maybe something different.
I just call it training.
Exactly, but yet he interprets it as CrossFit, but you know something? It doesn't matter. It's paying dividends to him. A 13-year-old kid, what's going to end up happening with him is he's going to be – all the knowledge you didn't have at 10 years old, you can deliver that to him
at
13.
What's funny is my daughter was a volleyball player, and she's 5'4", 140 pounds.
Okay.
I mean, she could pull 290 for 10.
Yep.
She squatted 275 for 10, and she could jerk 155 for 5, and she had a 24-inch vertical.
Wow.
Why? Because she's strength trained, and you know what? She enjoys it, and still something that she does. So
yep.
I look at it as a father. I've done my job. My kids know that training is part of their life. Eating properly is part of their life. And, you know, dad's one of the strongest. My dad's the strongest guy over 40 in the country, 2 years running, and the second strongest one in the world. And I get a laugh. I'm like, I'm just dad. I'm just dad.
Yeah.
And they don't get it.
But, you know,
they could give a rat's ass what my title is. They're just, I'm dad. And you know what?
Yeah.
I went and trained with my dad. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. And you know something, that, you know, they might not realize it now. They probably do. But think about down the road what you've laid down for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chad, there's one thing I was talking to a lot of the other guys, too, and you probably see it a lot, too. There's a lot of wayward kids out there, man.
Yep.
And, you know, I'll tell you what, you know, this is what we're trying to do with this show is we want to bring – these young kids in, especially when you see 30% obesity through the whole world now, that's pretty serious shit. And this is what we're trying to do with this podcast is we want to, I don't care what age you are, we want you here. But the thing is, let's get the kids now.
We want to get the kids involved. I mean, we
absolutely.
We have a.
I don't know about. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sure you've heard of the Parisi Speed School.
Yep.
We're out of New Jersey. Well, we have a Parisi franchise. We're the 13th franchise since we came on board in 2006. Okay. When we started the business here, we looked. I mean, there are 27,000 kids in a 30-mile radius, and you look at childhood obesity. And you look at the overweight problem. Well, when I was a kid, there was 10% of the kids were overweight. There wasn't an obesity problem. That was 1982. The average American child, average boy could do 9 chin-ups. The average girl could do 3. Today, 50% of our kids are overweight. 30% of them are obese. And boys can do 3 chin-ups and girls can do 0. It's important that we start to instill this work ethic into our kids because it's going to make a difference. Because eventually we're not going to be here and we're going to hand this off. Okay,
absolutely.
So the less douchebags we have in charge, the better.
Yep.
So I think it's more important that we get kids to understand that exercise is important, eating healthy is important, and taking care of the only body that you were given is important.
Absolutely.
Hey, Eric,
I
don't mean to cut you off, but I got to actually go train some people now.
Okay. Well, look, Chad, before you go.
Let's do this again. I mean, this was fun. I had a good time. I mean, I think.
No, I want to do this again.
We kind of got off track, but we had fun, but.
That's
maybe
okay.
We can come up with some direct questions, and we can come up with some programming issues, or come up with something like
fine.
That. We do all kinds of crazy stuff here.
Okay. Well, before you take off, though, I want you to give your website and any pertinent information that goes with it. Then I'll give mine, and we'll sign off.
Okay.
That'll take a minute.
The gym website is www.clubfitness24.com. Our Facebook page, you can find us under CrossFit Quartet. That's K-A-T-E-T. The Club Fitness 24 is also the Facebook page, or you can just look me up online. If you got questions, I love answering questions. That's what we're here for. I think one of the number one things that people with knowledge need to do is pass it on, help people, grow it forward, per se. And that's how we're going to make this country better, and that's how we're going to make people better.
I agree. And I'll just give you my stuff quick. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York. That's www.fiorellobarbellco.com. We're on Facebook, and we are on Twitter, too, at Fiorello Eric. You can reach me, obviously, on the website. There's a phone number, and also it's FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. We're also on Stitcher and iTunes. I'll tell Chad, like I tell everybody, this show is heard all over the world. Chad, I will definitely get back together. When we get off here, I'll just talk to you for a minute because I realize you got a client. I want to thank you for coming on the show. It was a lot of fun. You got anything to say, and we'll sign off.
Well, you know what? Hey, I'll take anyone's prayers for this next 2 weeks because take every bit of help I can get, and with some luck and all the hard work I put in, maybe I'll bring home the title of Masters World's Strongest Man this night.
Well, we'd like to see that, and maybe once you get back home, we could chat again after you've won.
Sounds great.
How's that good? All right, so for Chad Coy, this is Eric Fiorello. Have a good day, great weekend, and we'll talk to you.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.